In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump publicly scolded one of his top government health officials, contradicting him on the issue of a COVID-19 vaccine and the importance of wearing masks. CDC Director Robert Redfield, in a Senate hearing on Wednesday, had said that enough vaccines for the public would likely not be available until the third quarter of 2021, and that until then, masks were the most effective and important tool at keeping the virus at bay. This is how the New York Times described what happened Thursday. Quote, in a remarkable display even for him, Mr. Trump publicly slapped down Mr. Redfield during remarks to reporters.
But when I called up Robert today, I said to him, what's with the mask? He said, I think I answered that question incorrectly. I think maybe he misunderstood it. I mean, you know, you have two questions. Maybe he misunderstood both of them. But the answer to the one is it's going to be a much faster distribution than he said. Maybe he's not aware of the distribution process. It's not really his thing as much as it would be, let's say, mine. But the distribution is going to be much faster. As far as the mask is concerned, I hope that the vaccine is going to be a lot more beneficial than the masks because people have used the masks. As far as the mask is concerned, he made a mistake.
Trump also played down the death toll, implying that 200,000 dead Americans wasn't so bad, and that virus deaths were high in so-called blue states, not red.
This was right at the beginning. This was our prediction that if we do a really good job, we'll be at about 100,000 to 240,000 deaths, and we're below that substantially. And that's despite the fact that the blue states had tremendous death rates. If you take the blue states out, we're at a level that I don't think anybody in the world would be at. We're really at a very low level. But
the Washington Post pointed out that more recent virus infections and deaths are heavily tilted toward red states. Trump also claimed that, quote, our biggest threat to this election is governors from opposing parties controlling ballots, millions of ballots. He added, to me, that's a much bigger threat than foreign countries because much of the stuff coming out about foreign countries turned out to be untrue. But Trump's own FBI director, Christopher Wray, testified to Congress on Thursday about the seriousness of Russian-led efforts to undermine the election. Wray confirmed the various ways in which Russia has acted.
Social media, use of proxies, state media, online journals, et cetera, an effort to both sow divisiveness and discord. And I think the intelligence community has assessed this publicly, to denigrate Vice President Biden and what the Russians see as kind of an anti-Russian establishment.
That's FBI Director Christopher Wray testifying to Congress on Thursday. Mr. Wray also confirmed during the hearing that white supremacists make up the largest share of racially motivated terrorists in the United States.
Within the domestic terrorism bucket category as a whole, racially motivated violent extremism is, I think, the biggest bucket within that larger group. And within the racially motivated violent extremist bucket, people ascribing to some kind of white supremacist type ideology is certainly the biggest chunk of that.
Okay.
That's FBI Director Christopher Wray. Thousands of pages of internal documents from the U.S. Postal Service were obtained through the Freedom of Information Act this week and paint a disturbing picture of the number of ways in which the Trump administration has worked to undermine the agency's effectiveness. The documents and correspondence were largely dated from March and April of this year. And the Washington Post, which was able to access them, summarized that they, quote, depict an agency in distress as its deteriorating finances collided with a public health emergency and a looming election that would be heavily reliant on absentee ballots. Highlighting a potentially new conflict of interest, the documents also revealed that the Postal Service had relied on the counsel of a Republican lawyer named Stefan Passantino, who is now, quote, part of a new pro-Trump legal coalition preparing for the possibility of a contested election. There's also information about an ambitious plan that the Postal Service was considering to mail 5 face coverings per American to every household in the country to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus. That plan, of course, never transpired. Meanwhile, the National Postal Mail Handlers Union denounced Trump's crippling of the USPS and endorsed Joe Biden for president. Trump and his team is coming under fire for claiming that the president has a health care plan, something that he's been promising for years but has yet to reveal. In practice, the White House has legally attacked the entirety of the Affordable Care Act while verbally claiming to support aspects of it and offering rhetoric about a new plan. But a new plan has yet to materialize less than 2 months before the election. Here is White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany responding to a reporter's question, followed by Trump's campaign communications director Tim Murtaugh in a CNN interview with Erin Burnett.
I'm not going to give you a readout of what our health care plan looks like and who's working on it. If you want to know, come work here at the White House.
80 million people.
But
that
Tim,
is not the direction
again,
Americans
I just point
want
out,
to go.
That you may be correct about that, but at least Joe Biden has a plan out there. I mean, I'm just saying President Trump has promised one for 3 years. If there was a plan, we would have seen it by now. I mean, pretty obvious, right?
I think we've gone over this question a couple times now, and I'm not going to get a...
That's Trump's campaign communications director, Tim Murtaugh, unable to reveal any details about the president's new health care plan that he has touted for years. Attorney General William Barr is pushing aggressively for protesters from the Black Lives Matter movement to be charged with sedition in a move denounced by civil libertarians. Among those that Barr is targeting for charges is Jenny Durkan, the mayor of Seattle, for apparently allowing protesters to take over several city blocks for some months earlier this year. Durkan denounced the reports, saying on Twitter, "The DOJ cannot become a political weapon operated at the behest of the president to target those who have spoken out against his actions. That is an act of tyranny, not of democracy." Ironically, Barr accused his own Justice Department staff of political interference, which is apparently how he views prosecutions of President Trump's associates and friends. In a speech to a conservative college, Barr claimed, under the law, all prosecutorial power is invested in the Attorney General. Throwing his own staff under the bus, Barr also said, letting the most junior members set the agenda might be a good philosophy for a Montessori preschool, but it is no way to run a federal agency. During the same speech, Barr claimed that coronavirus lockdowns were the, quote, greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history since slavery. Barr's statements come at a time when a whistleblower revealed that federal law enforcement agents had begun to stockpile ammunition and non-lethal weapons such as a heat ray and high audio devices before violently clearing away Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C. for President Trump's now notorious church front photo op. In sworn testimony that D.C. National Guard Major Adam D. DeMarco shared with the Washington Post, DeMarco apparently, quote, told lawmakers that defense officials were searching for crowd control technology deemed too unpredictable to use in war zones and had authorized the transfer of about 7,000 rounds of ammunition to the D.C. Armory. Members of Congress and the Department of Homeland Security are investigating recently revealed claims by a whistleblower that numerous female immigrant detainees at a privately run facility had been sterilized without their consent. The whistleblower's claims have been corroborated by several women's own testimonies about the hysterectomies that were conducted on them. Immigrant rights activists were able to successfully halt the deportation of one woman who had come forward about her experience. And that does it for our news headlines.